broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I heard he had a rough go of it last week just because he lost his first preseason game, and that's not an attitude that you need to have in the NFL. And so he's got to change a few things. I mean, he brought a bunch of college-like things to the program, which I don't necessarily agree with. And I've heard some of the players aren't thrilled with him either, including having a microphone on the field. One of his assistants on the field during practice with a boom mic, telling everybody to hydrate and hustle and get to the next period. So obviously he's a work in progress. He's been a good football coach everywhere he's been. It's a lot different when you recruit guys to your school and have a bunch of the top players, the five stars, than it is trying to build something. So it's going to be a challenge. I'm not giving up on what he can do in his first two games. I don't think that's fair to him. I don't think it's fair to the quarterback, but they're not off to a good start.
That was Pete Prisco earlier this week on the Duh Show. And he's joining us live right now here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about the Texans.
The DA show.
The Duh Show. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Pete, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We got the Jags in week one here in Houston, and it is interesting to see. Urban, we haven't seen a lot of college coaches be able to adjust to the NFL. Pete Carroll is the best, probably, that we've seen in quite a while. And, you know, he's a player's guy, though. And most college coaches have a rough time adapting. And Urban's he's having a tough time, isn't he?
Yeah, and Jacksonville had a college coach in their first coach in Tom Coughlin, and he had a tough time early on as well. I mean, there's an adjustment. Those guys are, you know, they're used to guys doing whatever the hell they tell them to do, whenever the hell they tell them to do. And it's not always that way in the NFL. Yeah, you got to follow the rules. You got to be on time. You got to do your work. But there's a lot of other issues at play. And you know, the thing with the speakerphone, you know, the microphone and all that on practice field, hustle, you know, hydrate, next period, you know, that's ridiculous. And I think some of the players have frowned on that. They think it feels like a college atmosphere. But we've seen that play out before. It either goes one of two ways. Either it's fixed, and by that I mean they adjust, the coaches, or the players rebel. And so I think you're going to see, and I think Urban's smart enough to realize that he's going to have to adjust a little bit and do things more along the lines of an NFL player. Here, you know, a couple of weeks ago he said, hey, the guys are going to be playing for me. No, they're not. In the NFL, they play for their money, period. They play for their check. And so if he really believes that, he's got to change the way he thinks about the NFL game.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, Pete. Knowing what you know about him, and of course most of us just know him from watching him in college, but Nick Saban found out real quick and decided, okay, I'm not messing with this. One and done in Miami. This is not for me. He had coached in the NFL before, so obviously he knew, but I think the NFL was much different for him, you know, in the 2000s than it was for him in the early 90s with Bill Belichick. I'm kind of curious, do you think Urban Meyer has what it takes to make the necessary changes internally or personality-wise to end up sticking around for more than 3 years max at Jacksonville?
Well, he's going to have to learn how to deal with losing. And when you're at the college level like he's been, you recruit the best of the best, and you don't really have to worry about losing. And so, you know, you might lose one game and that you're, you know, or two. You're not going to lose 7, 8, 9, 10. And so I think that's going to be the toughest thing. And, again, he lost the preseason game the first week, and I heard it really, you know, weighed on him. You can't allow that to happen. You have to be able to allow that stuff to flow, you know, go over your shoulder and get on with the next game. And I don't necessarily think he's going to have the ability to adjust to that in his first season. And he's going to lose a lot of games. I mean, that's a team that's going to lose 9, 10 games. And so I think that they're going to be keeping an eye on him to see how he handles it. You mentioned it. College can, you know, college coaches have the rough transition because they don't understand the grind of, okay, that one's done. Now we got 16 more to go in the regular season. And so I think that's going to be the toughest adjustment for Urban Meyer.
Did he handle the quarterback situation well, in your opinion?
Terrible. Awful. Bad. Any word you can use, disgusting. It was a terrible display of college-like gamesmanship, and it was stupidity at its finest. They took away first-team reps from Trevor Lawrence, even though you know Gardner Minshew is a backup at best for any team in the NFL. The perception of Gardner Minshew outside of Jacksonville is significantly better than what it is inside of Jacksonville, because they know. They've watched him. He holds the ball. He takes sacks when he shouldn't take them. He moves out of clean pockets. He's just not a good quarterback. And to try and create this illusion of a quarterback competition, a quarterback situation where you have to decide who the starter is, was ridiculous. And you took away first-team reps. Trevor Lawrence needs as many first-team reps as he possibly can get. And yet, at times, they were splitting him, and Gardner Minshew was getting the first of them. And that was just dumb. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I never did. I think they really hurt the growth of Trevor Lawrence by doing that.
I thought it just didn't make any sense. I mean, you know, he's the first pick coming in. He has these generational traits. I don't know that his tape was always necessarily generational at Clemson, because we like to throw that word around a lot. But there's just no question his upside is extraordinarily high. I thought his tape was very, very promising and good, and really showed that he was significantly better, I thought, than the quarterbacks in this draft. You know, it's just a matter of, can they mentally handle it, and do you have enough up front from an offensive line standpoint to keep them from getting bludgeoned so that they don't maybe lose confidence? To that point, I want to ask you about the offensive line and their ability to protect, because they're going to see a Texans front that's a lot more active under Lovie Smith. Is the offensive line that's in place right now, are they healthy enough and talented enough to, you know, to put your golden boy out there and expect him to stay healthy for most of the year?
Well, when they're healthy, they are. I think the biggest problem the other night was they weren't healthy. I mean, they were down three starters. You take three starters away from any offensive line and you're going to struggle. And you're talking about the two veterans of the group and Brandon Linder and Andrew Norwell, the center and left guard. And Linder played very well last year. Norwell played much better last year than he did the year before when he was a major disappointment. So, yeah, I think they're good enough. You know, they brought back all five guys. I mean, they brought them all back, and they thought with George Warhoff, who they've also brought back, he's one of the few holdovers from the staff as the line coach, that they would be much better up front. They haven't been able to get a lot of work together. They've been in and out because of injuries. But I think once you get those guys back in there, they're plenty good enough. I mean, are they going to be a great offensive line? No. But they're good enough. I think my biggest criticism is the way they're running the offense right now, and if it continues that way, it's going to be a problem. And Daryl Bevel is big on that, you know, all ISO routes, not a lot of pre-snap motion. And I don't think necessarily that's a good thing when you don't have great speed outside in the passing game. You got to get creative to get those guys open. And you know, DJ Chark wasn't there, and he hasn't been there, and he'll be back for the opener. But I still think they're not a fast team on the outside. They got to get more creative.
And that was what I was going to ask you. What are they, you say they're going to lose nine, whatever, however many games they're going to lose. What are they lacking? What do they have to have in the next couple of years to be a better football team?
Well, speed on the outside, first and foremost. The tight end who can scare in the middle of the field. I think those are two things. You know, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball, they got to find out if their guys can rush the pass. You look at, you know, Josh Allen has been banged up. He's missing time now. And after an impressive rookie season, didn't play very well last year. Big year for him. And then also Kalyvon Chaisson. You used the first round pick on the guy. They're switching to more of a, you know, 3-4 look up front, although, you know, you're nickel 65% of the time, so it's really, you know, but they're going to have him standing up, and I think that he was miscast as a down defensive end. But this is a big year for him. They have to show that they can rush the passer and influence the quarterback, because they did a horrible job of it last year.
Pete Prisco joins us right now talking a little bit about the situation. I am very curious about also how it was received. I was reading some of the comments. I didn't understand why Travis Etienne, of course, he's out for the year now with the foot injury. I had a hard time understanding, Pete, why he was being given so many reps at wide receiver. I understand having a running back who can, you know, who's multifaceted. I understand trying to work him in with James Robinson, who had a very good year as an undrafted free last year. What were your thoughts? I don't think I ever read your thoughts on playing Etienne at wide receiver. Like, what was, I didn't understand the point in that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I know you maybe use him for practice or two to get him acclimated to catching the football. That's what they said they wanted to do, because he didn't do a ton of it at Clemson. I know he did some of it, but I'm with you. I mean, he's a running back, and he'd be the first guy, and I've talked to him about it. He was the first guy. He says he's a running back. Yeah, sure, he was okay, you know, getting acclimated to catching the football, but he's a running back, and I don't understand. First off, you don't draft him in that spot. I mean, let's be real, you don't draft that guy. As much as I like him as an air type of back and a speed back, you don't draft him in that spot. And now he's hurt now for the year, which, you know, running backs, they come, they go, you run them in the ground, you draft another one. You know how that is. And so I was very disappointed with the pick. I love the kid as a player, but I was disappointed with the pick. And he's one of the few speed guys that they actually had that's no longer there. So I'm with you. They should have just played him at running back and tried to integrate him into their offense that way.
I think it's that whole concept of, hey, listen, no one's job is safe. No one has anything given to them. You've got to earn it. So we're going to – right off the bat, they were – we're going to run him at wide receiver. And like, what are y'all doing? What is this? And then just to get back to your point, the Trevor Lawrence thing never made any sense. You roll with that guy and you move forward with him, but it's like Urban is really trying to show you, hey, we're creating a new culture. No one's safe.
Before you go, Pete, are you buying the Jags as a 3-point favorite over the Texans in week one?
I like the Texans. I'll take the points. I think that Texans team is going to be feistier and more of a problem for teams than people think. I don't necessarily think they're going to win a ton of games, but I think week in and week out, you look at the makeup of the team, there's a lot of veterans, a lot of hungry veterans, and I think they're going to be feisty. I think they're going to be a tough out week in and week out. They're going to, you know, try and run the ball, put, you know, get Ingram and those guys and Lindsay going, and then maybe take some shots down the field. I think Nico Collins has been impressive so far. But again, I don't think they're going to be a team that's going to win a ton of games without Deshaun Watson, but I think they're going to be feisty and a tough out every single week because that's what the makeup of the team is.
Did you hear Pete talking about our team?
That's right.
Feisty. We're feisty.
I think they might be.
I do too.
As long as they don't get too.
I like the 3-2.
As long as they don't get too crazy with the win total.
No, feisty. Pete.
No, I wouldn't get too crazy with the win total. I'm with you, but I think they're going to be tough out every single week. By the way, I like Davis Mills coming out. Now I like him even more after watching him.
Yeah, no. Listen, he's exceeded expectations here. I think for me anyway, he's much better than I thought he was going to be coming out of Stanford with very few starts. That's for sure. Hey, Pete, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging with us, and you know, hopefully we'll talk again soon.
You got it, guys. Take care,
Pete Prisco, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time for you to understand that you can help out. And it doesn't even take much. You can help out with carsforkids.org. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you go to carsforkids.org, you are going to find that you don't really have to do anything but make a phone call, and they'll come out there and they will haul off your car, your truck, your motorcycle. It doesn't matter what it is that you have, whether it's running or it's not running. They will take it. They'll haul it off. They do the title search and transfer. They do all the heavy lifting for you, and you get a tax write-off. I mean, how easy is this? You get a tax write-off for doing nothing more than having them come take something off of your lawn or out of your driveway or out of whatever storage facility you may have it in, and they can make good use of it. And you are going to help a young person have a second chance at a diploma. It's that simple. Cars for Kids works with the Houston Can Academy to help make that a reality. And now you can get in the middle of it with a tax write-off, to, you know, no less, by simply contacting them at carsforkids.org, right off the car and not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.